You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to continue the story of Family Shield ministry today and incorporate the story of Faith Family Reunion as well. We'll share that story today as well here on The Coffee Hour. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Paula Isaacson, founder of Faith Family Reunion. Paula, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
All right. Nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Also joining us today, Kay Meyer, founder and director of Family Shield Ministries. Kay, welcome back.
Thank you.
I am excited to learn the story, to dig into the story. Paul and I talked many years ago. It's probably been 8 years or more since we talked. Mm-hmm. And so I want to share the story of Faith Family Reunion. And it really starts with a very personal story for you, right, Paula?
Oh, yes, it certainly does. Yeah.
What's your story? What are your earliest memories of attending church with your family?
Well, I just remember when I was a kid going to church with my mom and seeing my dad in the pulpit. And I was like, wow, that's my dad. It was just an interesting experience just having your dad kind of being at the center and everybody watching him and listening to him and paying attention to him. And he was my hero. My dad was my hero. And I just remember just a loving family, church congregation, just the people were just, it just was a very warm, loving environment. And those are my memories of going to church. People were there for one another.
How did your parents' faith shape you and shape your own faith as you were growing up?
You know, I always watched my parents as I was growing up as a child. They always seemed to have a soft way of dealing with life and matters that came their way. They never really seemed to be harsh or angry or bitter, but they just seemed to have a different way of dealing with life. And at that time, you know, because I had grown up in that atmosphere, that's just all I saw. I didn't realize that it was faith in Jesus Christ that shaped their life, just because that's how I was raised and that was my life and just the way life was. When I was away from faith, I could really see it more clearly. And I remember when I was away from faith, I always thought that my parents maybe should be more like the world and a little bit more harsh and strong-willed. But really, in reality, I'm thankful that they were soft and they continue to stay soft.
Can you think of an example of a time where in your interaction as a family with your parents, how reflecting on that now, how you see how faith made a difference in how they approached the situation? I'm thinking of as a child and even as a teenager, there are always situations where there are challenges in communication and interaction as a family. Can you think of an example where you see that faith made a difference for them?
Well, I mean, I remember a couple of things, and this, I don't really remember the whole scenario, but I remember my dad would always talk about turning the other cheek. And we, as kids, really couldn't understand what that meant, you know, turning the other cheek. Why wouldn't you try to get your revenge? Why wouldn't you try to make things right? And my dad was always about, you know, turning the other cheek. And now as an adult, I understand, and actually, of course, being back in the faith, turning the other cheek is just not taking revenge and not being angry and not being vengeful, but forgiveness and forgiving others. And this occurred, I remember, when we lived in Sheboygan. And so my brother and I were, you know, what, eight and, or six, I'm sorry, probably eight and five, something like that. So it was just that story that I remember. And my parents just always seemed to be, like I said, it seemed soft to me. And I don't know how else to explain it. As I was writing, going through some of these thoughts today, that's the word that I came up with was soft. And I don't know if that really accurately reflects it, but it's really the response of really forgiveness, not being hard, not being vengeful, but just being soft and loving.
How did your perspective on faith change? What were some of the influences that made you kind of think about things in a different way than maybe how you had been raised when you were younger?
Well, when I was away from the faith, you know, I wanted to be tough, you know, just like other people in the world, and maybe even tougher than anyone else, and not let anyone into my life. I was very distant, and I never let anybody get close to me. I was always very, you know, standoffish and almost secretive because I didn't want anybody to know anything about me. And now that I've come back to faith enabled by the Holy Spirit, I'm learning that vulnerability really is important in sharing of your faith and the hope we have and why we have it. So my things have just changed. You know, it's not like stay away, get away from me, but I want to invite people in. I'm still quite shy. You know, I'm still quite, you know, because I've been that way for so many years, and it's still, okay, can I let them in? Can I trust them? Kind of a thing, but it pays off. It really does pay off. So
reflecting on that, when did that begin for you as you drifted away from the faith? When do you recall that really beginning to change, or your perspective on faith to change, and your view of how you regarded the softness or the gentleness of your parents versus the other approach to the world? When did you start seeing that perspective change?
I would say probably, you know, I started to get inklings of the outside world, if you will, when I was in school, when I was in high school. And so probably, you know, around 13 or so, 12, 13, going from eighth grade to a freshman in high school. And I started to see, we were raised in the Lutheran school system. And then I went to a public school, and I often heard the word sheltered. You know, I had a sheltered life, you know, never really got to experience what life was really all about. And so I'd have to say probably in my teenage years, preteen years, and probably I'd say around that time.
What changed? Like, what did that look like for you in your life as your perspective was changing? How did your attitude and your perspectives on things change as you were realizing these things?
I realized I was vulnerable, and I didn't want to be vulnerable anymore. I wanted to protect myself and stay safe. And I wanted to experiment with life and experiment with, you know, things that everybody else was doing, you know, going to parties and hanging out and having boyfriends and, you know, all that stuff. I didn't want to be that good girl, the goody two shoes. And I became rougher, harder, not soft anymore. And yeah, it was a tough time.
How did your parents respond to that, to your, I'm sure your changes in perspective, and I'm sure that impacted your attitude and your interactions with them. How did your parents respond?
They became more intentional. Like, my dad didn't often really know how to interact with me. And my mom became, to me, it seemed like she was trying to ask more questions and wanted to know more what was going on in my life. Whereas before, she wasn't concerned, and she became more concerned. And my dad became more, they both became more concerned, but my mom especially. And there was my mom and I used to be best friends. And then when I left the faith, we started to, you know, clash. Our personalities really clashed. And I clashed with my parents because I was super rebellious and I wanted to do things my way. I kind of really got sucked into the worldview big time. So it was a lot of, they were hurt, and they were very hurt. They didn't understand, you know, what happened at all.
How did that evolve over time? Because that is a really difficult thing, a difficult relationship. When a relationship changes that significantly, how did that evolve over time as you kind of relearned your relationship as you had walked away from the faith and they were managing what that meant for them too? How did that change over time?
Well, it became harder and harder. I left home a number of times where, like when I was in high school, after my senior year in high school, I decided I was out of here and I needed to get away, you know, and so I moved as far away as possible. And during that time, my parents just kept on staying involved in my life and wouldn't let go, you know, and at the time, it kind of bothered me, but I was kind of thankful in a way. I moved away multiple times. And so I would go back and then I would say, I'm out of here. And then I'd leave. And then they would continue to reach out to me, and I would come back and I would leave again. And then I would come back, and I left again. I actually, the final move was when I moved to Colorado, but my parents were persistent in maintaining that relationship. They never, ever gave up. They continued to send me cards, letters in the mail, call me. They came to visit me, spend time with me. I knew that they were my parents and they loved me. And they just loved me no matter what. They didn't really love my lifestyle, but they loved me. And they made it very known. So they kept that relationship open.
We're talking with Paula Isaacson, founder of Faith Family Reunion, and Kay Meyer, founder and director of Family Shield Ministries. learning about how these organizations have shared mission and have come together to live out that mission together. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our guest today, Paula Isaacson, founder of Faith Family Reunion, and Kay Meyer, founder and director of Family Shield Ministries. We've been learning Paula's story of growing up in the faith and then drifting away, especially during those adolescent, young adult years, and what that meant for her relationship with her family, particularly with her parents, and what that means for how her parents lived out their vocation to continue that relationship with her, even when they didn't see eye to eye on faith. So Paula, tell us about where that went from there. You moved out, your parents still continued to love and care for you, still continued to reach out to you at a time when you were seeking to find something different than the faith that they raised you in. But I know the story changes at some point. You continued in that relationship with your parents. When did things change for you? When did your perspective change? And when did you start to see how important your faith in Jesus really was?
Well, when I was in my late 30s, I had a really bad mountain biking accident where I actually injured my back and I had to sit still. I think I've been so busy, I was so busy all these years running around, that, you know, filling my life with things, busyness, work, activities, being competitive, performance, et cetera, in work and in the outdoors. Living in Colorado, you get caught up in mountain biking, which I did, snowboarding, you know, all the outdoor activities. And that became so important to me. Well, I had a bad mountain biking accident during a meeting I had attended in Utah. I went out on a bike ride with my husband and a friend, and we went on a bike ride and we were climbing this hill and then we're coming down on our bikes. And I was the last one. The two were in front, and I was going super fast, probably 30. And all of a sudden the dirt changed from dry to wet dirt. And my bike just kind of flew in the air, and I was like Superman flying off my bike. And then I scorpioned, where my hips kind of went backwards, if you will, and my back hyperextended and went over my head. I don't know if that makes sense, but basically I was bending backwards and I landed on my chest, and I was like, oh gosh. And my husband saw the bike fly in the air and he thought, oh boy. And I compressed discs in my back is what ended up happening. And so as a result of that bike accident, I couldn't do anything. I had to sit still. And I remember I was sitting in my condo after the bike accident, and we lived in a condo in Winter Park. And I was sitting there and I just was looking out at the clouds and just kind of, you know, you just sit there because you can't do anything. And I heard this still small voice say, Paula, it's time to change. And I'd heard that voice before. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe at the time I did, but now that puts the Holy Spirit. And I said, you're right. And that's when the light bulb kind of went off, my life just totally changed. I just felt the impulse to get to the Bible that my parents had given me a confirmation. And I happened to know where it was. I think I had it in the bookshelf, probably nearby, because it was precious to me because my parents had given it to me. And I hadn't looked at it a long time, decades probably. I pulled it out, I looked at it, and I started reading scripture. And I continued to read it every day, and I could feel a change in my life. And I knew that my life had changed, that I had been enabled by the Holy Spirit to come back to faith. And I called my parents And I let them know, and they were overjoyed. They were amazed.
What happened after that point when the Holy Spirit pulled you back in to the faith? How did things change for you?
Well, I'm a very visual person. And visually, I could see clearly. It was so strange. It was like there had been stuff over my eyes, like Paul. Remember when Paul, you know, couldn't see? I felt like I was, you know, Sala, you know, and stuff. And now I could see. I could see clearly, and I could see people hurting. I could see when people were genuinely happy. I could see when people had faith in their eyes. It was really strange. I could see bad. I could see good. I saw creation. I saw the clouds. And I was like, wow, God exists. That blew me away. And my attitude changed. I stopped drinking. I said, enough of these eating disorders, enough of destroying my body, destroying myself, enough of destroying relationships, enough of this life I've been living. That's nothing. I don't need that anymore. I can't live that way anymore. And it just changed my whole, it became soft again.
Having this realization and acknowledging the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, what were the next conversations like with your parents? What did they share about the years where you had drifted away? What did they share about those years?
I found out how hurt they had been. And that broke my heart. They had tried so hard to raise me in the faith. You know, and they wanted the best for me. And it just made me feel horrible. But they said, Paula, stop. You've been forgiven. You know, dear, it's time to move on. That's in the past. We love you. We're so glad that you're back. And we started to have an understanding. We could actually talk. We could really talk about life, about things. Where before, things were so shallow. I mean, my life was so shallow. And conversations were so shallow. And now they were so rich, you know, with my parents. We shared a commonality. It was amazing. Just having that bond, you know, and that's something that we, you know, we as Christians experience. You know, when we meet another Christian, we can tell when people are Christians. You can tell, you can just see it in their eyes. It's amazing. You can see it in the way they act, the way they are, and you have a common bond with them. And now, you know, my mom, dad and I had that common bond, and it was so rich and so fulfilling. And my life wasn't empty anymore. It was changed.
What has enabled you to speak out about your story? Because, I mean, obviously, this is a very emotional thing still. What has enabled you to speak out about your story and these changes in your life?
Well, I mean, how could you not? life was awful. I mean, like, my life was just so empty. And I was trying to fill it with so many things that really... it didn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And I can't stop, you know, stop talking about the change in my life, sharing the experiences with others too, just, you know, seeing, you know, the hurt that leaving my faith caused my parents, but then the joy of my returning, you know, I wanted to be, and my mom and dad and I, we all wanted to be an encouragement to others going through the same thing, because you know, when your family are in the middle of all of this, you think it's just your family, and it's going on in so many families. And just being able to encourage others. My parents were always encouragers. They always said I could do anything. They always believed in me, you know, no matter, they just always believed in us kids, each of us kids. And, you know, if we can encourage others, you know, and share with others, and we have that bond already as Christian brothers and sisters, and we have a familiar bond, we've got that relationship, let's encourage one another. Let's help one another. And we can't stop. We need to help other people. We can't just keep it to ourselves. I mean, that's what I feel like. I want to, and the Holy Spirit really enables me, encourages me to share with others, puts it on my heart to do it.
When did that lead to founding Faith Family Reunion with the help of your family?
You know, as my mom and dad and I talked about, you know, we continued to talk about life, you know, and you know, the steps where I had gone, and you know, how they were going and how their life was going, and how they had felt. It happened. And I remember starting to look online and I said, I wonder if anybody, if there are any groups out there that address this issue. And I kept on doing research and I never really saw anything. And I thought, you know, we should really start something. Maybe we can start something. And I was always into marketing, into website development, to, you know, just getting ideas out there. I said to my dad, maybe we can do something. And so I talked to my dad about it. And at first he really didn't understand it. He thought I was trying to reach prodigals. And I said, no, we need to encourage parents with prodigals, because once parents are encouraged, then they can reach out to their prodigals. And as we develop this ministry outreach, we realize that when we encourage parents, parents are really can be one of the greatest assets in reaching the lost. They can be one of the church's greatest assets in reaching the lost, because they have firsthand experience in reaching out to those that have left the faith and those that have left the faith for a myriad of reasons. And so how can we encourage them and how can we be a resource to them? And so we started kind of with a website. One day I was out skiing, cross-country skiing. My back got healed. Thank the Lord. That's another story. But I was out cross-country skiing and it's like, you need a name. Oh, Faith Family Reunion. Why, that's a great name. You know how the Holy Spirit just, he works through us creatively and he can give us ideas. And so came up with that name. And so I built a website and I had no idea where the stuff was coming from. Well, you know where it's coming from. The Holy Spirit was giving me ideas and I wrote them down, typed them down and shared it with my dad. And we started a newsletter and just started. That's how we started and tried to share that information with other people and let them know that we were here. So,
Kay, why is Paula's story important to Family Shield Ministries?
Well, in March of 2022, we merged with Faith Family Reunion. And one of the reasons we did that is because we saw the commonality between the broken families that Paula worked with and the broken families that we have worked with for 30 years, more than 30 years. They're not doing the exact same thing. We work with a lot of families that have Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons in their family, but the things that we have to do to strengthen those families and to help them know Christ are very similar. And so, excuse me, we saw this as something that God had brought to us to find ways to more effectively reach families for Christ. And what we can do with Paula's organization and what we can do alone with our organization, when we join forces, good things happen and God brings results. And so we've seen some wonderful results from that.
Paula, what does it mean to you to partner with Family Shield Ministry to continue carrying out the work that you've been given in reaching families with prodigals?
To me, it's like I know I'm not alone. My dad passed away about 6 years ago. And so, you know, I was doing this ministry outreach on my own and it was becoming, you know, quite a lot. And having a partnership, you know, really makes a difference where we have, you know, instead of just one, there's two. And so that just makes such a difference, you know, and when you're doing something by yourself, this is a tough topic too. Often people don't want to talk about it. It's kind of like the white elephant in the room where, you know, they want to push it aside and, oh, you know, Susie's doing fine, even though she's a prodigal. You wouldn't say that, but, oh, she's a doctor and she's doing really well. You know, people just don't want to talk about the things that are going on in their families. But now, and so when trying to reach out to share this ministry outreach, although we have had, you know, had some amazing partnerships, it still is such a tough topic to talk about. And then partnering with Kay now really creates such a stronger foundation instead of just me by myself. Yes.
We will continue the series. We'll share more in the future about some of the practical ways that Family Shield Ministries and Faith Family Reunion will be working together to continue this work of supporting families and prodigals, supporting parents. I can't wait to hear more about some of the practical opportunities that you have coming up in the future. Kay, thank you so much for spending some time with us on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you. I was happy to be here.
Paula, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.